Welcome to Buckets in the 503. I'm your host, Naewon Thompson. I'm here with my co-host, Curtis Williams.
Welcome back. We have a great episode today on the 2028 Prep Hoops Player Rankings. We got Jed Tye in the house. Welcome, Jed.
Naewon, Curtis, thanks for having me on again. Good to be here.
Always appreciate you coming on the pod. We're doing the 2028 rankings today. These rankings are going to be based off production, potential, and how they impact winning. This class has a lot of size to it. A lot of guys, 6'3 and above in this class, looking to have a breakout season and follow up on some of their freshman phenomenons that they were. Curtis?
Yeah, the younger the classes are, the harder it is. This class is kids that are going into their sophomore year. And so a lot of these kids, there's a lot of kids in this class who probably didn't have huge roles on varsity as freshmen. And some of them go to schools where, for example, like a school like a Central Catholic, a Tualatin, a Jesuit, schools like that who typically don't play freshman on varsity. So a lot of it's going to be based off of potential and then also production from freshman year. There are some kids who did have phenomenal freshman years and phenomenal AAU seasons. So we're definitely looking forward to it. Do you have anything else to add, Jack?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think it was as we were going over the list of names on this list, just the amount of guys that did play varsity, solely as freshmen. They didn't even swing JV or anything, and they had pretty big years. And in fact, a couple of these guys were getting all-league mention. They're averaging double figures in points. They're starting games. So it's pretty interesting to see just how many freshmen from this class were getting significant roles right off the bat.
Without further ado, the number one player in the class of 2028, probably a shock to none, is going to be Carter Lockhart. Carter last year played with Central Catholic. He was like their sixth man last year, lights out shooter. Probably has the biggest offer in the state right now at Oregon. Curtis, you want to expand on his game?
Yeah, Carter Lockhart, dynamic point guard. It's probably the easiest one at all the classes to put for number one. He's the only person in this class who has a D1 offer. He has two D1 offers, one from University of San Francisco, the other one from University of Oregon. This past spring and summer, played for Northwest Rodeo Rebels, coached by Jamal Crawford, on a team that was loaded with tons of talent. Players that are ranked in the country and USA camp invites. So I think this was pretty much a no-brainer. Dynamic point guard, great shooter. Probably have a huger role this year than he had last year as he transferred from Central Catholic to Nelson to team with Braylon Gaines. What other things do you have to add to this, Jed?
Yeah, I don't know what else to say. Carter has been hands down number one player in his class for, since middle school. He definitely was when he entered high school. Originally was going to go play at Gresham for his father. Just a number of things kind of went down. So he ended up at Central Catholic this past year. Of course, a very deep team. As Naewon, as you mentioned, he was basically the sixth man. He did start some games as well. But didn't necessarily put up any big numbers, right? Central Catholic was pretty loaded with Isaac Carr, Deuce Paschal, a lot of other great guys. So Carter definitely got playing time, but he wasn't going to put up a ton of big numbers. I think you'll see that change this year at Nelson. Of course, he's going to be playing alongside another great point guard in Braylon Gaines, who led state in scoring last year. So again, the numbers probably aren't going to be huge, but you're talking about a guy who is extremely skilled, great basketball IQ, son of a coach, can pretty much do everything on the basketball floor from the guard position. He's going to play both on and off the ball. He's going to have a great year. I think you're going to see some big things from Carter this year.
It'll be interesting to see how Blanks meshes Braylon Gaines and Carter in the backcourt together this year over at Nelson. Coming in at number two, we have Malu Nico from Benson. Malu's a 6'2 shooting guard / forward player. Very interesting skill set, really good around the high post. Has a sweet looking jumper. Talk a little bit more about his game, Curtis.
Yeah, Malu statistically probably had the best freshman season last year, had averaged 16.5 points a game as a freshman, was second team all league in the PIL for a playoff team, looking to make a first team all league and push his team to Child Center this year. But also in the AU season, He played with Northwest Drip, who was on the Adidas Gold Circuit. They qualified for 3SSB in July. And then in his 3SSB tenure, when he was down there, he averaged 15 points a game during the 3SSB circuit. So he had some huge games for AAU and a huge freshman season for Benson. And so I know he's looking to make more of an impact on winning this year. I mean, his stats, we do have a lot more talent this year, so he may not average the same amount, but possibly make a huge, more of an impact on winning.
Yeah, you know what I really like about Malu? I know, first of all, he's extremely physically gifted. He's a matchup nightmare. He's very strong. He can really get to the basket. I mean, it's pretty much impossible to stop getting to the basket, but then he's also got the versatility to step outside and shoot. Another area of his game I think is extremely underrated is he's just a tremendous passer. He came to our Prep Hoops sophomore showcase, and instead of just focusing on scoring, he was really looking for his teammates and really making a lot of great passes. And that's kind of what ended up earning him all event honors based on his passing. Just great all-around player, and it's going to be a real tough matchup for opponents this season.
Definitely looking forward to seeing his progression coming into a sophomore season. I know Benson has a lot of young studs over there, so it'll be good to see how they develop in the future. Coming in at number three, we have Sunset's own Drake Walsh, a dynamic big who really has some guard skills to him, more like a Karl Anthony Towns type player, can knock down some shots from far, but also, you know, can get to the rack and punish you down low if you do a mismatch. Kurt, you want to expand a little bit on his game?
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Drake. It's maybe a name that not everybody knows, especially on the other side of the river. But 6'6", played varsity as a freshman at Sunset High School. Averaged 10 points and 6 rebounds as a freshman, which is tough to do in the Metro League. I think he's still growing. I think he might wear like a size either 16 or 18 shoe, something crazy like that. Saw him a couple of times at this summer. Saw him at the Portland State Power Hours. They thought he was a senior. They didn't know he was a sophomore when he was there. Just to give you an idea how physically gifted he is. And so I could definitely see him being one of the eventually long-term, one of the best long-term prospects in this class, not just high school prospect. It has nice touch from the outside, athletic and dunk. And so I'd be curious to see how he transitioned this year with the expectations for Sunset.
Exactly, Curtis. I think you kind of nailed it on the head. He's got tremendous potential, really high ceiling with his length, his height. He's still, like you mentioned, he's still going to probably still be growing, maybe top out about 6'8 or something like that. But he also has great ball skills. He can really make a factor on the boards as well as scoring. I think his end-up stats were like 10 points and 6 rebounds a game. Expect those to both increase as he continues to, you know, be a bit big, a part of that big three that's there at Sunset along with Shea Thompson and Rocco Ebenall. Yeah, it was a sleeper guy, you know. He didn't play for a lot of those big name AU programs coming into high school, and just really made his mark, especially, you know, in the tough Metro League, to average 10 and 6 as a true freshman. I mean, that's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, remarkable indeed. I know, you know, last year Sunset had a huge win beating Jesuit during the regular season, so I know they're expecting big things this year coming back into the Metro. Coming in at number four, we have Teray Foster. Last year, Teray averaged 11 points, 4 assists, but most importantly, he shot 43% from the three-point line. Curtis, talk a little bit more about Teray.
Yeah, this past spring and summer, Teray played with us at the Cascade Kings. Got a chance to spend a lot of time around him. Lights-out shooter, one of the top shooters in the state. Transitioning to be one of the better point guards. That's one of the biggest things he's been working on. He's also the nephew of Jefferson's McCory Sanders Friesen from back in the day. Graduated Jefferson class 2006, is assistant coach at Oregon now. So I know he's has some pretty strong ties in the basketball community. So Teray is going to help Gresham goes. I mean, Teray has a good year. Gresham goes far. He's a huge key for them this year. I could see him making a first or second team All-League in the Mountain Hood this year. I definitely expect big things for him as he gets his scoring and his assist numbers up this year.
Yeah, definitely. Teray is one of my favorite players in this class. Just always makes the right play. Like you mentioned, lights out shooter, but this summer, playing more at point guard at the Prep Hoops event. The sophomore showcase did a great job of its decision making, especially in transition. And like I said, just always makes the right play, makes smart decisions, plays hard on defense. I'm looking for a huge year from Trey for sure.
Yeah, Trey's one of those guys. I know last year when we went down to Gresham and played, you know, he almost single-handedly beat us, knocking down threes from everywhere. You know, once he gets hot, it's tough to stop. So it'll be interesting to see if he can keep that going. I know a lot of times when guys shoot really well as a freshman, sometimes they have that little sophomore slump. So it'll be interesting to see if he can keep that thing going into his sophomore year. Coming in at number five is the big man out of Wilsonville, Michael Ratcliffe. Curtis, talk a little bit about him.
Yeah, Michael Ratcliffe, 6'8", 6'9", power forward center from Wilsonville High School. Has all the physical gifts. I mean, I can see him being a D1 basketball player. This year he'll have a bigger role because last year they had a lot of seniors. So Wilsonville is going to make another state championship run. He's definitely going to have a first-team All-League year this year. Soft touch. We played against him in the summer this summer league. He had a couple threes, got a couple of dunks. So he could do a little bit of everything. So he's definitely going to have a huge year this year. Can you expand more on his game, Jet?
Yeah, you know, I think you're talking about another guy who has great potential, high ceiling, runs the floor really well for a big guy, has a really soft touch, can face up, can also post up strong down low. I think this summer he's gotten stronger, a little more confident with his offensive game, can really hit the boards really well, block some shots. I think he averaged about 6 rebounds and about a block and a half last year as a freshman. You know, probably learning to play a little better and defensively and, you know, avoid getting into foul trouble. I think he's like you said, he's going to be a huge cog with Wilsonville and the system that they run and, you know, as they chase another run at state title in 5A.
Yeah, Wilsonville's always in the running. I'm sure the coach out there is going to do a great job, as he always does, building that team, and he's going to be a big factor in them going a long ways in that 5A championship run. Coming in at number six, we have Malik Mason from Grant High School. Malik is a 6'4", small forward type, can shoot it, probably the best shooter on Grant right now. Can handle a little bit, but he's also a big body down there and a force to be reckoned with. Curtis, go ahead and speak a little bit about Malik.
Yeah, Malik Mason, I'm hearing he's close to 6'6 now. Athletic guy, definitely has the physical tools. Didn't play AU at all this year, so it's kind of tough to kind of gauge how much better he's gotten. But he'll definitely be one of the top players at Grant this year, probably double his average from last year. I think last year he averaged 7 points a game. He should average at least 15 this year. Probably have a chance to make a first-team All-League of the PIO. Malik has all the physical tools. Last year he had a different role, mainly shooting corner threes. But this year he'll be one of the guys looking to help push Grant towards the playoffs this year. And so we'll see I saw him at the Mike James camp this year. It was pretty good. Dominated some guys that were older than him. And so if he can play like he played there this season, he's definitely going to have a huge year this year.
Yeah, I'm expecting a big year from Malik for sure. I saw him at open gym workouts at Grant this fall. Looked great. He can score both inside and out. He can get up there and finish at the rim. Plays hard. Just a very versatile player. I think you're talking about a guy who's going to be probably playing shooting guard at the next level. But he'll play a little bit of everything for Grant this year.
That's a great observation. Probably a shooting guard at the next level. But for high school, he's a big body. So, you know, looking to slim down that frame probably a little bit and get in the type of shape so he can be that two guard at that next level. Coming in at number seven, formerly of Central Catholic, now playing for Nelson, is Leo. Curtis, talk about Leo's game a little bit, as, you know, I think you had a chance to coach him here at the Cascade Kings.
Yeah, Leo's a super talented kid. He's probably going to be a wing at the next level. He's already 6'7". I see him hit threes, fast break dunks, pull up jumpers, great defender. So as he transitions from Central Catholic to Nelson, as they push to try to win the state championship, just see what kind of role he has this year and where he fits in that role, I'm not sure. But high ceiling, one of the highest ceilings in this class. Definitely one of the hardest workers in this class. And so I definitely project Leo to be a potential D1 player out of this class. So, I mean, we'll see how he adjusts this year going from Central Catholic to Nelson. Definitely get more play time than he had last year. I mean, he was at a loaded Central Catholic squad. And so he definitely looked real good in the fall league, had some big spring and summer AU games with us. And so the future is definitely bright for Leo.
Yeah, I think of the 10 guys we're going to be talking about in the top 10 today, Leo's the biggest mystery, right? He rarely played last year at Central Catholic, and then now he's transferring over to Nelson, and his role is still yet to be determined. But he is going to play. He's going to put up some points. He's a guy who everyone I've talked to, includes my good buddy Marshall Cho and workouts, that, you know, this kid is going to be D1. I mean, he can really do it all. But it's a big question just is how it's going to translate on the actual court and in games. I think it will. It just remains to be seen. But I think just with his ability to run the floor, his versatile ability to, both score inside and out, for a bigger kid who's already, what, you said 6'7"? I think his, like you said, his ceiling is really high. It's definitely worthy of putting him in the top 10 right now.
Definitely, it's a kid with a lot of upside. Be interested to see how he fits over there at Nelson, with Carter, Braylon, and then himself over there. So a lot of good shooters out there. So it'll be interesting to see how much he gets to rock and what he does when he doesn't have the basketball to help out his team win. Coming in at number 8, we have North Eugene's Damon Keith. Curtis, you want to expand a little bit on Damon Keith's game?
Yeah, Damon Keith, 6'4", shooting guard, played AU with Eugene Elite. Definitely had a decent year last year at North Eugene. Probably one of the leaders and probably make a first-team All-League this year out there. Jen knows more about his game than me.
Yeah, you know, Damon Keith, a very versatile player. Like you mentioned, 6'4", can play a number of different positions, both offensively and defensively. Can score inside and out, has a real nice touch, can handle the ball, get to the rim, finish at the rim, very long, can really block shots defensively, really hits the boards, plays with a high motor. Physically, he's not quite there yet right now, but yet he's still more than willing to get down and dirty in the paint and fight opponents for rebounds and on defense. Averaged 10 points a game last year for a balanced North Eugene squad. And with everybody back, they're going to make a huge run at the 5A title state tournament. So, I'm expecting big things from Damon Keith.
Yeah, kid averaged, almost 2 block shots a game with 1.3 steals and shooting 35% from 3. So, pretty good line for a freshman. Probably just needs to put on some of that weight so we can handle a little bit more of the physical contact if he's trying to get to that next level. But at that, where he's at, he's on a very good trajectory to be an all-star coming forward. Coming in at number 9, we have Jonah Munns. Curtis, you want to expand a little bit on Jonah's game?
Yeah, Jonah Munns, 6'2 guard out of West Salem. Actually, guys had to see him play in the playoffs. We had a game against them, and I think he had like 25 or something like that as a freshman. Also made second team All-League as a freshman. Very few freshmen in the state made a first or second team All-League. He was one of them. So he'll be one of the leaders for West Salem this year. He's probably the key, the highest leading scorer coming back. Definitely got a chance to be really good, and had great production as a freshman. So we'll see how he translates from his freshman year to his sophomore. He's probably gonna be the main guy in the scouting report this year.
Yeah, for sure. I think I think Salem area guys definitely were very familiar with him going into the year, but outside of the state, he was a bit of a mystery. But he came right in and just was an immediate huge contributor for the Titans there, and head coach Dean Sanderson. Gonna have a big year. He's a high motor kid. Really gets to the basket really hard, really can score at multiple different levels, can play both on and off the basketball. He's going to play off the basketball with Jacob Sanderson playing the point guard at West Salem this year again, but should have a really big year. I would expect him to be first team All-League there in the Central Valley and be a key component as West Salem chases that Central Valley championship.
Yeah, just a high motor kid. I know, we had a chance to play him also in the playoffs last year, and he was definitely on the top of our scouting report, which is very rare for a freshman to be. And so, just making sure that he was contained, and we understood that he was going to go hard and to put a body on him every time. And so anytime you're at the top of a scouting report for a team as a freshman, you're doing something right. So looking for another big year for him this season. Rounding out the top 10, we have from Thurston, Treyson Hill. He's a 6'5" combo guard. Does a little bit of everything. Curtis, you want to expand a little bit on his game?
Yeah, Treyson Hill from Thurston, 6'5" guard, can shoot it, a little bit of athleticism, can dunk it. Played this past spring and summer for Elite 24. I think he played upper grade, 16U level. So I mean, great year. I think last year Thurston was finished number two in the RPI before the playoffs started for a team that made the state tournament 5A. And so he's coming back. He started for that team. So he'll definitely have a bigger role this year. It has a high ceiling with him already being 6'5" at the guard level. Definitely translates to college.
Yeah, for sure. Treyson Hill, extremely long, good athlete, can really finish at the rim, can shoots it really well, has a great pull-up jumper as well as, and he's really makes an impact defensively. He only averaged 5 points a game last year, but it was a very senior-dominated Colt squad that ran the table in the Midwestern League, and they're one of the favorites coming up again this year. I fully expect him to be probably the second-best player on the team behind Lucas LeBounty, who was the MVP of the league last year over there at Thurston. But just a do-all player, really hard worker. This summer and fall, he's actually been coming up to Portland to participate in some of Coach Cho's Menlo Park basketball runs, and just willing to do whatever it takes to get better. And I think that's a really key component for a young player at his age, just that willingness to continually look to improve, look to compete against the best.
Yeah, the ability to play hard is definitely a skill set that, us coaches love. And so he definitely has that. And so that rounds out the top 10 players in the 2028 class. But there are some sleepers in the class who we feel, have the ability to crack the top 10, possibly top five of this class as well. One person that I know I have my eye on is going to be Jacob Harper-Grant. Who actually goes to Grand High School? High motor kid, defensive specialist. I think he's one of those kids that you kind of have to look out for and see if he's going to grow a little bit. Already listed at 6'3", so he's a long wing and has a very good defensive mindset. Curtis, are there any other players out there that you like that are out there?
I'm definitely a fan of Jacob's game. I know he'd probably be mad about his ranking. I know he was number four last time. But before we get into other names, just keep in mind if the last time we ever seen you play was high school season, if you didn't play AAU or you didn't go to any showcases, it's hard to move up if we ain't seen you play. So don't get too offended by the rankings because this is definitely before the beginning of anybody's sophomore year. So people got a long time. The next time we do these rankings, they'll be totally different, I can guarantee, right? Because a lot of people can have bigger roles at their high schools, things like that. But a couple of names that stick out to me, there's a lot of size in this class. I look at there's three kids in particular. You got Jonah Mason, the 6'7" small forward power forward from Wilsonville. You got Dakari Mitchell, a kid that went to Rex Putnam last year but transferred to Centennial. He's 6'10", moves like a guard. And then Ryan Wacker from Tualatin, another 6'6" small forward kid that's lefty that's pretty good. I think those three guys definitely have a chance to be in the top 10 eventually, just based on their size and their skill set.
Yeah, and one name I'm going to throw out there, this is a real sleeper. I'm not sure he's quite ready to be in the top 10 anytime soon, but he's definitely putting up some production. His name is Grayson Castaneda. He's a 6-foot combo guard out of Newburgh. And, Newburgh didn't win a lot of games, but they're going to be better this year, possibly fighting for a playoff spot in the Pacific Conference. But yeah, he's a 6-foot guard, a defensive menace. He led the state in steals last year, three steals a game in all of 6A, and almost averaged 10 points. So it's a kid I think that's worthy to keep an eye on.
Yeah, another kid I had a chance to see this summer, who competed against us during that summer league time was Jamari Sanders. He just left Roosevelt and transferred over to Grant, and his motor is just on a different level. You know, he just competes no matter what, up 20, down 20. He's going after everything and always in attack mode. And so that's someone I can definitely appreciate and could definitely see him moving on up in these rankings as time goes on. And he establishes his role over there at Grant during the season.
PIO has a lot of kids in the 2028 class that all be varsity starters. You got JP, Jalen Parnell Padden from Benson. Definitely a huge key for us defensively and offensively. They can play multiple positions. You got Victor Jackson, the point guard from Jefferson, who averaged close to double digits last year. And you also have the new transfer, that's Grant starting point guard this year, Jalen Mills, the point guard that came from Central Catholic, swung JV varsity over there as a freshman, and now will be had the ball in his hands at Grant. So, I mean, there's a lot of, I think almost every PIO team has a 2028 kid that's going to be starting this year. That's not to mention you got Sufjan Carter, Muhammad Carter's little brother that goes to Wales. He'll be starting probably at the two this year.
Yeah, you know, and overall, this 2028 class, you've got a lot of potential and a lot of ones who, you know, got a chance to really contribute as true freshmen. And I think that's a little, probably a little deeper than we've seen in recent years. You know, a lot of freshmen come in or, if you know, they might be playing JV or largely on the freshman team, maybe swinging varsity. But this year, this particular class has a lot of guys who got put into action right away, and it's because they're talented. They're really, really good, and I think we're going to see a lot of these guys make huge jumps coming into their sophomore year.
Yeah, sophomore year is always that time that you start seeing that the jump happen and the separation really start to happen as guys elevate to that varsity level and get, you know, either major minutes or very important minutes in the game. You know, one of those guys I definitely see that happening for is Jakiah Pipple-White. He is, you know, the son of Cliff White over there, the head coach at Gresham. And, you know, looking at him this summer, it looks like he's starting to take some huge strides in his game as well, following his brother's footsteps. And so, you know, some people are just a little bit late bloomers, but you can definitely see how his game is definitely starting to translate to a higher level.
Yeah, so every school is going to have different kids, but, you know, I know definitely I'm real familiar with the PIO. There's a lot of talented kids in the 28 class and the 29 class in the PIO, which could make us be one of the best leagues in the state in probably another year or so. Are there any other kids that stand out to you, Jed?
You know, not any other ones I can really think of at the top of my head. You know, we did have a really nice prep hoops sophomore ID camp where a lot of guys we mentioned really came out and did really well. We had a great turnout for that event and really happy with, you know, the support we've been getting with that. And yeah, it's a fun class. I'm really excited to see just how a lot of these guys continue to develop.
I forgot one, Jalen Smith. Jalen Smith, the older brother of incoming freshman Jordan Smith. He averaged 12 points a game as a freshman at Reynolds. I know he's excited to have his brother at the school with him now. So, I mean, very few freshmen. I think maybe, four or five freshmen last year averaged double digits as a freshman on varsity. He was one of them. And so he definitely has a case where he could be in the top 10 already, not to mention having a better year this year. So that's another kid to look out for as the two brothers look to put Reynolds back on the map this year.
All right, and that'll do it for this episode of Buckets in the 503, the review of the 2028 class. We appreciate you listening. If you have any comments, go ahead and drop us a line. We're always here to hear what everybody has to say. If we missed any kids, let us know your thoughts. Other than that, we appreciate you listening. Thank you for listening to Buckets in the 503.